Well, John and Teresa Whitty are in our studio with our Rural Solutions Technology Update show once again. And did you guys get dug out earlier this week?
Oh, my. That was some tough stuff to move this time. Not like the last fluffy one we had before this. This has been some heavy snow. And
well, we were kind of out and about, you know, as a lot of people were trying to get home. And it was like someone was throwing wet snowballs at our face.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
There were some big wet flakes.
Yep. Melting fast, though. That's the good thing.
Yep, it's that time of year.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, and you guys get to walk down from your store to the studio. And
It's been good weather.
Pleasant walk.
Yeah, yep. Really nice.
I don't mind the snow a little bit. If it's going to be cold, we might as well have snow.
That's right. I agree.
We did have a subject, but because of all the calls we've gotten, because of the weather we had
earlier this week.
I think we should probably talk a little bit about battery backups and power and things like that, because we are coming into that time of year where a thunderstorm could brew up and all of a sudden people have some power issues, and we've got some computers apart in our shop right now that were
blown.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yep. They were plugged in and running when the power was going up, down, up, down, up, down.
Yep. Lightning is a factor, too, coming up in the thunderstorm area. Yeah, I know we talk about this quite a bit, actually, since we started beginning doing the show, but it's always good to reminisce and talk it up again, because a lot of people don't get it.
Well, a lot of times, you know, we're pretty protective of servers in an office environment. We've got UPS battery backup on the servers, and we've got all the protections around that. And we have them set to automatically shut down if the power, you know, is out for more than 5 minutes and things like that. But when it comes to home users or just even office PCs, most of these were just plugged into the wall. And when the power, the worst, you know, if it just goes down, that's one thing. But when you got that brownout or that off, then back on, then off, then back on, you know, those types of spikes and surges are what really burn things out fast. Mm-hmm. And so
what's the suggestion to do then, when, like last Monday, when the snowstorm was going, a lot of heavy snow, winds knocking the power lines together, and you're getting at home, in our home anyway, some people were without power for a long time.
Really?
But ours was flickering on and off.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing.
Well, in our office, we ended up closing, late morning that day.
The store in Madison? Yeah.
and then we shut down all our computers, and then we kept the servers running because they're on a battery backup. Mm-hmm. So those, for up to an hour, perhaps, you know, you got to do the math and figure out how big your wattage is of your UPS and all that. Those things, and if you're interested in finding out about that, by all means, give us a call, because I do that for a lot of people. You want to make sure you don't undersize your battery backup and things like that. That's a very typical thing. But if you don't need it running, shut it off. If you have a computer like a POS or something like that that you need in your store, as long as you're doing business, you can't just shut it off. Then you want to put some type of battery backup on it that will keep that running during those ups, those quick ups and quick downs.
Yep. So what do you suggest then when lights are flickering in your house? What do you suggest that people do?
Well, mostly just turn things off. Okay. You know, turn off all the things, keep your lights on. But, you know, the TVs are basically computers now, too. And just shut things down. And if you unplug them from the wall, especially during a lightning storm, there's still the chance of surges coming in. And that surge, if you think about it, if you get hit, is going to come in one of two ways. If it hits through the network, because that goes right to your motherboard, the network controller. So make sure you unplug your network adapter, too, from the wall. And
that's
the Ethernet cable.
Unplug it from the wall. That's the safest thing.
Thing to do. And then if you get a lightning strike or something that comes through your power, that's going to hit your power supply and can burn that out. And the power supply does connect directly to your motherboard. So in a case where it's not protected with a surge protector or anything, make sure you unplug the power too.
So John, if it is protected by a surge protector, because we didn't unplug our work computers from the walls, but they're all plugged into surge protectors and not directly into the wall. So it's okay to leave those plugged in?
Yes, and it depends. You know, some people get power strips and surge protectors mixed up.
Right.
I think we have that right below you there, Teresa. Maynard's got a power surge. Yep.
Actually, that's a small battery backup.
Yep. And that has built-in surge protection. Mm. So the idea is that it's always going to be a constant amount of power coming out of it. So if you have a power flicker, that battery takes over, so you have that constant 110.
Okay. Right. So there's battery backups, which actually provide power when the power goes out for a short amount of time, just so that it doesn't mess with your programs and stuff, and you can shut your computer. And then there's surge protectors, which provide some buffer. And then there's power strips, which are just extension cords.
All they are extension cords, and they're not going to
And they look like surge protectors.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Power strips and surge protectors look the same.
Oh, okay.
So you got to make sure that if you want a surge protector, it says surge protector.
Okay. Yep. Good advice. So... Okay, and the other subject that Teresa mentioned, this is going to be kind of fun. This is right down my alley here.
I had a gal from a museum come in and was talking about photos, and I was helping her on her computer getting some photos downloaded, and she was having some trouble, and we just got into the conversation about the importance of photos. I mean, think about if you go to the Historical Society here in town, they have pictures of all the old time things, and that's how we know what the history was. We know what things looked like,
and really precious pictures. I mean,
right. Yeah. And one of her soapboxes is that we need to print pictures, so we have something in the future to show people what it was like now. And there's less and less people printing pictures. I don't know if our kids' generation ever prints pictures.
Mm-mm. Yep.
I don't know That's when the last time point. Was that I printed a picture.
Well, I know one thing for sure. Everyone that has their cell phone takes a lot of pictures with their cell phone, and I take hundreds of pictures.
Right. So in theory, we should have a better documented history now than we ever have. But the problem is that these pictures aren't getting, there's so many of them that things aren't getting printed out and saved in the, the traditional
styles. In any
styles.
Kind of an organized way.
Right.
I mean, we've got, huge amounts of pictures on the internet, and I just is it going to look different? Do we need printed pictures to show our history? Is the internet going to be around forever? Are we going to have those digital?
A lot of my pictures, I automatically download to Shutterfly, my Shutterfly account, so they're saved there. Yeah. Like when I pass away,
right. That's true. We have these.
They're gone. Who's going to take care of them? Or who's going to want to print some or stuff like that?
Or who's going to want to go through them? Because you're going to have thousands of them. Which do they know? We don't take our time to label. Like my parents' generation, you'd look at the picture and you see whose names those were in the back.
You turn the picture around,
Yeah. And now it's just a bunch of, a lot of times they don't even have names. They're like X5321 is the name of that picture.
Right.
If you go with your default picture names. And another thing that drives me crazy is Snapchat, because people say, hey, what, I want to see pictures of your grandkids. Well, you think you can find them because they're all gone after you read them or look at them the first couple times. Mm-hmm. And
I say mine to my camera all the while, but
you do all the time.
Yeah, most of them.
I wish I got to get in the habit of doing that, because I can't even show up to date pictures, because I know I get good ones every day, but it's on a medium that you can't can't share. Yep. Yeah.
Well, John, it's called.
I guess I have to talk to some tech guy.
What's it called? When you
take a picture of your screen, screenshot.
Selfie. Screenshot. Oh, screenshot. Okay. Yeah, you got to screenshot it, John.
Yeah.
This is a good subject, Teresa. I'm glad you brought it up, to save history of your family or your community or whatever. And I can see the museum's point, it's getting lost.
Yeah.
In a way.
Or is the museum going to have a new way of...
Digital screens.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
you have to do something.
Yeah. Well, I know they do digitize, the old pictures so it is permanent. If something happened, they still have the record.
Yeah, permanent. What's more permanent, a physical picture or something on a computer?
It all depends on how it's managed.
It's an interesting thought.
It is. Because, in a way, history is being lost.
Yeah.
It's not being saved in a way.
And people just are busy and they don't take the time to, hey, today we're going to take all our pictures and we're going to label them and put them somewhere in a different media.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We take them for granted so much because they're so easy access. Do you remember when you had a camera? It was like, okay, I have 24 pictures, so I'm not going to take
eight
pictures of the same thing. You know, you get one or two pictures to make sure you get a good one, and that's all.
Yep. Well, we went to Hawaii in October, and we have yet to make a photo album. I mean, that's our goal, is to take our best pictures that we took in Hawaii, and make a photo album, print them out, make a photo, or print it into a book. Shutterfly makes a book out of it.
Yep, those are pretty neat.
But everyone, once in a while, my wife and I look at each other and say, I haven't got that done yet. All right, good subject. Yeah. If anybody has anybody listening has some advice, maybe how to take care of that problem.
We'd be happy to share it on another show. Yeah,
you bet.
Because that almost sounds like a potential business for somebody, you know, to to take care of.
John's always thinking pictures. Like that, though, isn't he?
He is. He's such an entrepreneur.
All right, good job. Where are you located and when you open?
Well, here in Madison, we are located on Main Street. We're open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 4:30. You can reach us there at 320-698-4747. And in Milbank, we're on Highway 12.
Yes.
I always get 12 and 212 confused. I'm really not very good at directions. Highway 12. I bet Highway 212 doesn't even go through Milbank.
No,
it doesn't.
Okay. Sorry. I'm kidding. We're in Milbank. We are on Highway 12.
There
for
you go.
Sure. Yep. And you can call us at 605-438-4747.
And if you have trouble finding which highway Teresa's talking about, send us an email, support@ruralsolutions.com.
All our secrets come out on the radio.
All right, good job.
Yeah, thanks, Paul.
This is Highway 75 out here by the highway, by the radio station.
I should
station.
Remember that.
That's all right. We all have our faults. Thanks for coming in.
Bye.
John and Teresa Whitty with Rural Solutions Technology Update Show.